up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's me, the familiar voice of the happy hour, your host, Doug Eddy, and I'm here this week with my co-host, Timothy Keller. Tyler and Justin are watching the Minnesota-Dallas game, locked up in a tight one currently, so they're probably chewing their nails off, texting back and forth, flirting and being frustrated with each other over the game. So it's just Tim and I, which is what we found out. We put a poll out there on Twitter, and it sounds like your favorite combo for this pod is Tim and Doug. So you know,
it was a landslide. Wasn't even close.
We give the people what they want. So congratulations. Your feedback has been received, and it is Tim and Doug this week. Tim, what is going on with you?
It is November 10th, 2019.
It's cold.
And may I say, 244 years ago, November 10th, 1775, in Tun Tavern, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the world's greatest fighting force, the United States Marine Corps, was born. I am very proud to say that I was at one point a member of the greatest fighting force on this planet, the baddest gang on this planet, the United States Marine Corps. So happy birthday to all my brothers and sisters out there. Hopefully you didn't overindulge, but if you did, hey, we recognize Veterans Day tomorrow, and that is the Marine Corps Recovery Day is what that is. So,
that's a good way to look at it. You have the day after off just so you can party and celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's real nice.
Happy birthday, and thank you for serving, anyone that's listening that has served or plans to serve in the future. And Veterans Day, for those that have served in the past, like, thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you for protecting our lovely country. Much appreciated.
Yeah, I wanted to throw that out there, too. Just to all the rest of the services, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, I'll put that out there, too. Thank you guys for everything you do as well, because you guys are pretty cool as well. Somebody's got to guard the coast.
Someone's got to guard the coast.
Yeah.
Can't build a wall against that, jackass. Anywho. So no notable injuries this week. We're kind of getting away a little bit from the injury reports every week, unless there's something significant. I mean, it was just Matthew Stafford with a broken back. But other than that, like, whatever. He must have ran into Bane this week. I will break you. And just broke him in half. So Stafford did not play.
What do you think broke first on Stafford, his body or his mind?
His body.
Okay.
I'm going to say his body first. We'll go with that. Since I was a little boy, I was raised in the darkness. I think I'm going for Bane for Halloween, by the way, next year.
My
wife and I were talking about costumes, and I almost did it this year, but there's a really nice costume, but it's like 100-something bucks, and I'm not about that spending a lot of money on a Halloween costume life.
Yeah.
And I probably could make one. I just need to take the time and figure it out. But my wife was like, I think I want to go as Poison Ivy, and I was like, okay, that's real sexy. That's cool. Like, we can do that. And then I was like, well, I could go as Bane. Because I can do the Bane voice. I can stand there, you know, with the jacket and be like, here's my wife, Poison Ivy. And, like, do the whole thing. Like, and it'll be a lot of fun. So I can bick my head, put the mask on. By the time Halloween comes around last year, I'll be more yoked than I am now. Mm. So I think I can definitely pull off Bane. So side note, now that we're running on a tangent.
Yeah. No PED testing for Doug in the next few months. He's going to be hitting the gym, putting on those extra pounds of muscle.
That's right. I've been working on my fitness. So needless to say, the weight has been shed. I still have a little bit more weight to shed, but now I'm just kind of redirecting things.
That's a great Fergie ref, by the way.
I'm glad that you got it. That is good.
I got it.
If you listen and you got that right away, then props to you. High five. Let's go. So this week, we are going to give you Dynasty buys. Now, not a typical dynasty buy in the sense of like buy them now, like for the rest of their career, but these are going to be players that you can buy for your championship run in your league. So these are the players that you want to target. So if you're like, you know what, I'm a contending team, I think I can win the whole thing this year, but I'm not sure what players to target. We're going to give you that list of guys that we think you can acquire at a reasonable cost that will help bring you the ship. Now, when you win that championship, hopefully your commissioner, goes on trophysmack.com. And if he does, make sure he uses code DHHRING because it's going to get you a $60 value championship ring for free when you get that trophy. The trophy's got interchangeable toppers. Like if you win it, like, oh, Tim, you won it. Here, keep the topper. I win it, I keep the topper. Like lots of different options. So if you win that ship, Trophy Smack has got your back. Code DHHRING on that one. So we're going to start with you, Tim, and we're going to start at the quarterback position. Not necessarily the most important position in fantasy just because there are so many of them, but when we talk super flex leagues, which seem to be more and more popular, especially in the dynasty community, quarterbacks are important. You know, we see like Scott Fishbowl. I lost Cam Newton for the year and I had to blow all my fab on Mason Rudolph. So far, hasn't been a bad decision. Like Mason Rudolph has been serviceable, I guess I would call him. He hasn't been terrible as a second QB when I needed him, when Darnold had mono and Jimmy G had a bye and all that jazz. But, you know, it's increasingly important that quarterback depth in your Superflex leagues are important because we've seen quarterbacks. I think it was with Jeff Driscoll's start this week, half the teams in the league have started backup quarterbacks this year.
Yep.
So it's been a little bit of a QB apocalypse. So, you know, you see people pick up Jeff Driscoll in Superflex leagues this morning once Stafford was announced out. You see people pick up who started last week that was bad? He wasn't bad. Brandon Allen, for instance, for the Broncos. Like, he wasn't bad. Like, but people will pick up a starting quarterback in a Superflex league just because. You know, Luke Falk, people were picking up Luke Falk when he was starting, you know, so it is important. So we're going to start at the quarterback position, and I'm going to go to you first, Tim. Who is your quarterback by to get you to the ship?
Well, here's a guy. He's got a little bit of age to him, and we just kind of joked around about the broken back. But if the back thing...
Thank you.
If we start hearing positive news about the back, I think Matt Stafford, since Kerryon's gone down, the Lions have really kind of taken the reins and let him loose and let Stafford do his thing. And he's, I think he threw like 41, 42 times last week.
Yep.
If they're going to continue to allow him to have that kind of volume in the passing game, I really like Matt Stafford. Now, next week they face the Cowboys, followed by the Redskins, then they got the... Thanksgiving game, obviously, that's against the Bears. So you don't necessarily love the Cowboys matchup, and still you might not want to start him, you know, coming back from the back injury. But the Redskins, the Bears don't scare me. The Vikings you do have to worry about, in, you know, early December on the 8th. But then they got the Buccaneers and the Broncos to wrap up the fantasy season. And if the Lions are sitting there throwing the ball 40, 50 times against the Buccaneers and the Cowboys, or I'm sorry, the Broncos, to end my championship year, especially in a Superflex league, I think that Matt Stafford could definitely put up the points to push you over the edge and win your matchups in those weeks and getting you that championship, getting you that trophy. And that's what you need.
I like that. I like that call. Yeah, the offense has definitely shifted. I mean, their running back situation is the worst in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Ty Johnson gets banged up today. J.D. I call him McBisquick. Just doesn't do anything. They had Jay Ajayan for a workout. Like they don't seem to be. I mean, Paul Perkins is on the squad. Like, how desperate are you? But they don't seem to be really in a rush to bring any running back help into this team. So I think that they are going to just stick with the pass, and it's going to be Galladay and Jones and Hawkinson and.
Amendola. Driscoll threw it 46 times a day.
Yeah. They didn't stray from their regular plan. Like, they kept it real. And I think, that you're right. If Stafford's going to be healthy with this back thing, like, I think he's a great option. Mm-hmm. So mine, I think, is a good buy because I don't think his price is that high because we don't really know what the future of the Carolina Panthers looks like. You know, there was a report yesterday that Cam Newton's probably seen his last game as a Panther, which is kind of ridiculous to me. But Kyle Allen has taken over this team. They were competitive today against Green Bay. He threw for over 300 yards, had a touchdown strike to Curtis Samuel. And I think he's a good serviceable fantasy quarterback. And now if you're going to try to win your championship, this is especially super flex leagues. Now, Kyle Allen's not quite as relevant in your standard single QB leagues, but in a super flex league, his remaining schedule is pretty, pretty nice. So if you're looking to get points to help not only get you to the playoffs, but bring you to the ship, he's got Atlanta twice. The only real trouble spot I see here, you know, is week 12. He's got New Orleans, which they didn't look all that great today. But it is on the road. So, you know, maybe you bench him that week. That's fine. But he has a nice stretch of Washington, Atlanta, Seattle, and then in the championship game, Indianapolis, who's been hit or miss versus the pass. Now, anytime that you have a quarterback surrounded with a Christian McCaffrey, a DJ Moore who's got two games in a row now over 100 yards, and he didn't have any in his career going into last week, you've got Curtis Samuel who's scoring a ton of touchdowns and not getting a ton of yards, which I think are going to come. Greg Olsen had a nice game today for the first time in a little bit. Like, he's set up for success. That offensive line's doing a nice job. So I like Kyle Allen, and especially in that Superflex format, as a guy that you can probably trade in a Superflex league. I would say, what would you have to give up to get Kyle Allen? Maybe
a Superflex?
A late second, early third in a Superflex? Maybe even a third would do it.
I was going to say probably the late second. I don't know if the early third is going to get you Kyle Allen.
Yeah, because we don't know. Like, I think a lot of it is, like, we don't know if he's the guy going forward, and I think that kind of insulates his price a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Carolina said today that, like, we're cutting Cam Newton and Kyle Allen is our starter, then his price would go up, like, a lot in a Superflex
league. See, that's the type of guy, though, that you could go, like, Derek Carr for Kyle Allen plus.
Yeah, you could definitely do that.
You know? Something like that.
Or you trade one of those older quarterbacks, like maybe it's a Breeze or a Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have that name value, and you say, you know what? Like, Brady stinks in December in fantasy. This might be his last season, and maybe you give Brady for Allen either straight up, or you get a little bit back on the Allen side.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that. I would love that type of move. I think Kyle Allen's pretty good. I don't think he's that bad. I know they drafted Will Greer, who both you and I are fans of.
Yes.
But, I mean, he struggled a bit in the preseason.
Yeah, they don't seem to have any plans to get him in there.
They do not. So that's my biggest concern with Greer. He would be more of like a buy super cheap and stash and like wait and see type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what this episode's about. So we're not going to talk about that right now. Maybe we'll get to it in a future episode. So let's move on to everyone's favorite fantasy position. And that is reverse cowgirl. I mean, it's running back. It's running back. I'm sorry. It's running back. It's, you know, the sex-filled weekend has got me clouded.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on anymore. Get away with the wife. Get away from the kids for a couple of days.
I become 20 years old again.
It's been a hot, sweaty weekend for Doug, and he's very sore. He was rubbing down with a Ben Gay before we started recording.
Right,
exactly. He's got some hamstrings he's got to work some knots out of.
Oh, I got lots going on. Tomorrow's a recovery day. We're both home from work, and we got nothing going on, so we're just going to relax.
There you go.
So let's go to running back, Tim. I've got a couple. How many running backs you got? Start with your first one, and give me the name. Give me the guy that you're shooting for here.
The one on the top of my list here, and I don't have him in any sort of order, and Tyler's going to love this one. And this is a guy I've...
Corey Clement?
No. No, he doesn't love it that much. Maybe he loves it more, honestly.
Fair. That's fair.
Ronald Jones. Tyler and I have kind of gone back and forth on Ronald Jones a little bit. I've just never been a super, super believer in the talent. But you know what? The Buccaneers are. And the Buccaneers, for two straight weeks, have given him the lion's share of the carries out of the backfield. He's looked better than I expected between the tackles. He got a lot of work in the passing game today.
Running with power, too. Doing it.
Yeah, with burst. You know, he makes a quick decision. He hits a hole. He's not the most electric back in the entire world, but he's going to get a bunch of touches in an offense that moves the ball. Yeah, as bad as Winston can be at times. That offense puts up fantasy points.
Yeah,
so,
they play. I think they play the third fastest pace in the league.
Yeah. So here's what he's looking like for his schedule. He's got New Orleans. You don't love that matchup. But then you got Atlanta. The Jaguars aren't as scary as they once were. The Colts defense, the Lions defense. And then they end the season with the Texans defense in week 16. So there's some plus matchups there. Again, any running back that's going to get a team's majority of their carries should have positive results for you. And there's plenty of matchups here that I think that Ronald Jones at worst could be a flex option for you and hopefully get you those wins and get you to the championship game. And I think you're not paying through the teeth for him. You're definitely paying more now than you were, let's say, 5-6 weeks ago. But I think he could be had for I mean, I guess you're probably going to have to give up late first for him at this point. I don't necessarily love that price point. I'd try to do a player and a later pick to get myself some Ronald Jones on my team. But, you know, if he's the last piece that's going to get you the title, then it's worth it.
I agree on Rajo. He's the most polarizing dynasty asset, it seems. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people are either in or out on Rojo, and his seems like his price fluctuates like every week. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So mine is a guy that's been a buy low for a little bit now. And, you know, Joe Mixon had a nice game today against Baltimore. Touched the ball almost 30 times, 150 yards from scrimmage. Despite their issues at offensive line, despite there being a rookie quarterback behind the center. And, you know, if you look at the rest of the season, Joe Mixon's schedule. Now, typically, you know, Joe Mixon was a second-round startup pick, maybe end of the first at his high point. And, you know, we look at him now and people are just like, oh, that line is bad, that team is bad. And that is correct. But, again, it's a matter of buying the talent. He's been healthy this year, and that used to be a concern in years past. You know, with a lot of nagging injuries, but he's handling the workload. And when you look at the remaining schedule, there's only really one team that 1 week that I'm worried about, and it's not a playoff week. So he's got the Raiders in week 11, the Steelers in week 12, which isn't a great matchup, but you know, the Rams ran okay against the Steelers today. Gurley had some space. Then he's got the Jets in week 13, the Browns in week 14, the Patriots in week 15. Now, a lot of people are going to be like, ooh, the Patriots in week 15. The Patriots' run defense sucks. So this is from a guy that watches every game. Their pass defense is out of this world. Their run defense stinks. So don't worry about the Patriots on paper with Joe Mixon. And then in week 16, he's got the Dolphins. That's your championship week. And then if you play in a week 17 championship, first of all, get that thing changed or leave that league because it's ridiculous. Yeah. But he's got the Browns in week 17. So Dolphins in the championship week. You know, they won two in a row, but I think by week 16, they're going to be checked out again. So that could be a monster game for Joe Mixon those last few weeks of the season. I mean, week 13 through 16, you're talking really, really good matchups. Now, he's not a player that's going to get game scripted out of it. They were behind today and he still touched the ball almost 30 times. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of player that you want to get. If you can give up a 2020 first and maybe a player that's like a fringe starter type of player to get Joe Mixon. I have him in the UDPL. Now, our friend of the show, Memphis, has been looking to get Joe Mixon from me. Now, earlier in the season, he offered me Leonard Fournette and Sony Michel for Joe Mixon.
No.
And I said no.
Oh, no.
And I said no. This is like week one or two. And I was like, nah, like I'm a Mixon guy. Like,
yeah.
I'm not a big Michel guy. And Fournette at the time, I'm like,
Yeah, it's one of these where you look back and you're like, oh, why didn't I take that?
Well, yeah, because Fournette's had an absolutely amazing season. His usage is through the freaking roof.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stick with Mixon. I have Zeke, Aaron Jones, Mixon, and I had Chris Carson, but I ended up trading him.
Okay.
So I said no. And he's since still wants Mixon, but he keeps shooting me offers that are just not desirable. So I'm like, yeah we're not going to do that. But so if you can get Mixon, I mean, everyone seems to try to buy low on Mixon. If you can give up a 2020 first and, you know, maybe a decent young player to get Mixon, I would be all in for that, especially not only if you're trying to get the title, but just going forward. So Joe Mixon next year, the Bengals are going to have a very high draft pick, maybe even the first overall pick. Mm-hmm. And maybe they take a quarterback, whether it's Justin Herbert, it's Tua, it's Burrow, it's whoever. They'll probably take Jake Fromm by accident. So whoever it is at quarterback is going to be an upgrade, I think, over Andy Dalton and Ryan Finley. And then they're going to have a lot of other draft picks that they can hopefully address that offensive line. They're going to have salary cap. Now, granted, they don't spend a ton of money because they're the cheapest freaking franchise in the NFL. Mm-hmm. AJ Green's going to be gone. There's a lot of exciting things that could happen. This team could turn around, and then Mixon could have a Dalvin Cook-esque season next year. So we look at what Minnesota did this year. Last year, Cook, coming back from the ACL, looks good, rips the hammy, finishes the season real strong, even though his offensive line was hot garbage. So Mixon still having some successful games this year with a terrible line. If they invest it and they follow that model that Minnesota did and they hit on these right pieces, you know, they drafted the guard from Alabama, Jonah Williams, in the first round. Unfortunately, he tore his like tricep. He's out for the year. They got him coming back. They can make some savvy moves. And then all of a sudden, Joe Mixon is having the breakout that Dalvin Cook is having this year. I think he's I don't think Joe Mixon is as talented as Dalvin Cook, but he's not that far off. They're different types of running. They're different type of running backs. But Mixon is, I think, in that upper crust of talent in the NFL. So, yeah. So you're not only buying for this year, but you're buying going forward. So Mixon for the ship, and then maybe Mixon for the ship next year if everything pans out the way you want it to.
Like it. I like it.
Word.
I like it. All right. I'll move on to my next one. I have two other bigger names, but I'm going to go with Jordan Howard here. We've seen the past 2 weeks, the Eagles really start to, I guess, kind of change the offensive philosophy a little bit. They're leaning more and more on the run.
Because their receivers stink.
They do. The receivers are really bad.
Unlock
really,
jaws.
Really bad.
Please.
So Jordan Howard is getting a lot of work running behind this Eagles offensive line, and this Eagles offensive line is still not bad at all. They are one of the better offensive lines. They are a plus offensive line in this NFL. So Jordan Howard, yeah, he's on by this week. They come back. They see the Pats, which we discussed. Their run defense isn't nothing to, you know, necessarily worry too much about.
Nope.
Then they have the Seattle Seahawks. You don't necessarily love that one. But the Miami Dolphins, the New York Giants, and the Washington Redskins are how they end 14, 15, and 16 here. So Jordan Howard, as the weather gets bad, as the Eagles learn more and more that to win these games that they need to win in order to stay on a playoff hunt, just get behind these big horses on that offensive line, let them do that work, and let Jordan Howard does what he does best. And he's not going to do it in a sexy manner. He's not going to be out there breaking these long, big-time 80-yard runs. He's no Dalvin Cook. He's no Ezekiel Elliott. But he gets a full head of steam behind a good blocking offensive line, and he's a tough, tough thing to tackle. So I like Jordan Howard. I like his matchups at the end of the season. And he's a guy you could have for a mid to late second probably because he's not sexy. He's just not that name.
And his future's unknown, too. He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So you can play on that.
And you sell based off that, hey, this 2020 class looks so good. Who knows what Jordan Howard's going to be doing next year? I'll take him off your hands. What are you going to, if he's on a middling to a non-contending team, you know, he's not going to do anything for you. Here's the second that helps you in your rebuild. Let me get, you know, Jordan Howard in here and ride that guy to the championship.
Yeah, I like that move quite a bit. So my other running back is a Patriot. He's here close to home. It's not a player that I really like at all from a skill set standpoint. But when you're trying to win a championship, sometimes you target players that you don't like just because of situational things. Now, we saw at the end of last year the Patriots really ride Sony Michel at the end of the season. You know, the playoff run, the Super Bowl, he scores the only touchdown. Yay. But at the end of the season, the Patriots, Tom Brady stinks in December. They like to run the football. They've obviously shown, much like with N'Keal Harry, who we talked about in the Patreon episode, rookies don't get playing time. Damian Harris has been active, I think, for 3 games. He's got like 2 touches all season. Mm-hmm. So you can stop worrying about Damian Harris. Rex Burkhead isn't getting a lot of work. Michelle's been largely ineffective because they've had injuries along the offensive line. They lost James Devlin. They no longer have a blocking tight end that's worth a damn because Gronk retired, Dwayne Allen's gone, and they have Matt Lacoste, Ryan Izzo, and Ben Watson, who whatever. So with Michelle, you know, you're not going to get these big games. Like, I don't think Michelle runs for, I mean, he might run for 100 yards again one time this year. But what you're banking on is them to grind it down. He's going to get 20, 25 touches, and then the touchdowns will start to come. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want with Sony Michel. So when you look at his schedule, they come back from the bye. And it's always good to buy players coming off of the bye week, just like Tim said with Jordan Howard. So Sony Michel is coming off the bye, and then they face Philly. Not a great matchup. So maybe you wait until after the Philly game, and that's when you make an offer for Michel. Or maybe you make it now, whatever you feel comfortable with. They've got Dallas, who can be vulnerable against the run. They're not having a great night this evening. They've shown in the past that they can struggle. They've got Houston. No J.J. Watt. Kansas City, who couldn't stop a nosebleed on the ground. Then they've got Cincinnati. They've got Buffalo in the championship. And that's a home game. So Buffalo usually doesn't show up late in the season in New England. And then, again, if you play a Week 17 game, cool. They play Miami at home. So, you know, Sony Michel, I think his price is pretty low right now. I've seen him get traded, I think, 5 times in the UDPL. Like, he's been on half the teams in the league. No one likes Sony Michel, really, from a dynasty standpoint. But if you're looking at the schedule and you're saying, you know what, I could use some flex help. Here's a guy with some upside late in the season. As that offense starts to shift to a run-heavy offense, like, all right, I can swallow deep and maybe give up a... I think Sony Michel's value... I think on some owners, you could get like a... You could get Michel for like a maybe a high second. I don't think you have to give up a 2021st to get Michel.
No.
So, or maybe it's like a player-for-player trade. But I do like the prospect of Michel down the stretch. And I think if he gets hot, the run game gets hot, like, you could benefit, and that could bring you to the championship. And I hate to say it, because I think Sony Michel is like just completely unathletic and just not very good. But
yeah, sure. I got one more running back, sure. And this one's actually going to cost you a little bit. This is a rookie running back who's actually producing on a team that we as a whole thought just wasn't going to be very good this year. And that's Josh Jacobs with the Oakland Raiders. I think the Oakland Raiders have shown that they are not a team to just kind of blow off and push to the side. They are definitely contending. They're, what, one game out from the AFC West, I want to say, right now?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs lost today. They're right there.
So I'm trying to find the league it was in, but Tyler actually traded for Josh Jacobs today in the league. Personally, I think he overpaid. But like I said, Josh Jacobs being the rookie, being productive on a team that's overproducing more than most people thought, you're going to have to pay up. So Josh Jacobs is on an offense that likes to kind of dink and dunk. They play an old school style of football. They're running hard between the tackles, and then they're keeping the passes shorter, close the line of scrimmage, safer plays. That's why Darren Waller for the longest time was really eaten. I mean, he definitely goes down the seam and makes some big splash plays too. But look at that Raiders offense, and you'll see Derek Carr's throwing closer to the line of scrimmage than probably the league average. But Josh Jacobs runs hard. He has great vision. For as big as he is, he has great, great agility, great footwork. I like the prospect, not only for this year and to ride out the rest of the season. Hopefully he doesn't get that, you know, those rookie legs towards the end of the season we hear so much about. So I believe he's going to finish the season strong, and you got to love it going forward. Price point on Jacobs, you're probably going to have to pay a
first
if,
plus.
If you're just talking, yeah, if you're talking a blind 2021st, a blind 2021st plus a player to get yourself a Josh Jacobs. But I really, really do like the prospects this kid has shown so far. I think he can finish out the season. His schedule to finish out the season, Cincinnati, the New York Jets, Kansas City, Tennessee, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and in Week 16, the LA Chargers. So I really like that schedule for him as well. So Josh Jacobs is a guy I know you're going to have to pay for him. He's obviously the most expensive guy I brought up so far, but I do 100% believe he's worth that price point.
Yeah, I agree. I think Josh Jacobs is exceeding expectations. You know, a lot of people were skeptical because he didn't go to the combine. He had limited college tape. But man, he is elusive, breaking tackles, running hard, scoring touchdowns. Like, he looks great. So yeah, I completely can get behind that one. So absolutely. So let's shift gears a little bit here and go on to a wide receiver. Yeah, I got a wide receiver for you. He's a veteran. He's been in the league for a long time. He's a future Hall of Famer. He plays in the NFC South. His name is not Dusty Rhodes. His name is Julio Jones. So I like Julio. I think a lot of Julio owners in Dynasty are seeing two things.
I could see Julio dressing up as the ladies' man for Halloween.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I'm going to give you my bionic elbow if I can get into the end zone.
Yeah, do you have any of those touchdowns?
I am in third of a touchdown. It has now been 6 weeks since I've scored a touchdown, and my owners are starting to get a little pissed.
Yeah.
So those are the two things. Is Julio Jones, the owners being like, the volume's there, but the touchdowns aren't, which, hello, that's been Julio Jones's career. Also, I would call him the more jacked Andre Johnson, pretty much, because he had the same exact thing. But Julio Jones hasn't scored in 6 straight weeks, so I think owners are frustrated with that. The other thing is they're seeing, all right, here's a guy, he's getting close to his age 30 season. This might be one of the last windows to really capitalize on Julio Jones's value, right? Mm-hmm. So that would make me, if I'm a contending team, go out, get a veteran that hasn't been performing up to par, and try to get him at a good price. Now, when you look at his schedule for the rest of the season, it is pretty nice. There's only one game in there where it could be a little bit of a bugaboo. So, and I think that is week, what is that, 17, 15 against the Niners, which could be a challenge. Because Richard Sherman, props to him. Like, I thought he was washed. He's been playing out of his mind this season. So, Sherm, where it's at. So, but he's got Carolina, Tampa, New Orleans. Carolina, again, you know, they were missing James Bradbury, their best corner this week. The Niners, then Jacksonville. And then if you play in week 17, again, log out. He gets Tampa Bay. So I think that he's got a pretty favorable schedule down the stretch. And I think right now you can get Julio for a price that's palatable. Maybe you trade a younger wide receiver and a second-round draft pick. Maybe you trade a DJ Chark.
N'Keal Harry?
Sure. Like, maybe you trade a DJ Chark in a late second, early third to get Julio. Maybe you trade N'Keal Harry in a second to get Julio. Like, if you want to win the championship, sometimes you got to make sacrifices. So, but I think he's a great option for you to target just because the value's low and the dynasty community, I think, is as a whole is kind of like, here we go again. And some people might panic and be like, I need to cash out on this guy before it gets real bad. So, Tim, who you got at wide receiver?
I'm going to bring up a guy who plays on a team also in the NFC East. You know, it's hard to love these other teams in the NFC East, but Golden Tate for the New York Giants has been producing.
Golden Tate.
Now, the Giants are on bye next week. They come back right before Thanksgiving. They play the Bears. They have the Packers. They have the Eagles. You can throw all over the Eagles. And then they end the season. So your playoff run here for the Giants, the Eagles, the Dolphins, and the Washington Redskins. So if you can get by with Golden Tate being on a bye, this actually might be a perfect time to purchase him in fantasy because of that bye coming up. Teams are going to be like, well, I can't use him this week, and I don't like the Bears after that. So you might be able to go get yourself Golden Tate, hold on to him, get past that bye. He could be a flex option in the Bears and Packers games. I think he's a starter for you when it comes to the Eagles, the Dolphins, and the Giants in the fantasy playoffs. You got to love that. You got to love the production you're seeing out of him. Sterling Shepard might not be back this season.
Yeah, he might hit IR sometime soon.
Yeah. Evan Ingram is dealing with, I want to say that's a foot injury.
Will Fulleritis.
Yeah, those. the foot tends to linger a little bit. So Evan Ingram, even if he comes back, still might be a little gimpy. So Daniel Jones is going to be looking for these wide receiver options. I know Darius Slayton got, 10, 12, 40 targets today. He's ridiculous.
He had 10 receptions and 2 tutties.
Yeah, but Golden Tate is also getting that work. And if Darius Slayton continues to get 10, 11, targets a game, defenses are going to have to start focusing on him. And Golden Tate's good enough to still beat number twos on defenses. So Golden Tate, I think, is a guy, he's going to be a value buy for you. You can get him for that probably late second.
Yeah, and that's a great point because I'm going to piggyback on that and give you a guy that I think has a similar value in terms of picks. I think a late second could net you a Julian Edelman. Now, if you look at the Patriots schedule, I went over it when I talked about Sony Michel. Philadelphia, easy. Dallas, not too bad. Houston, easy. Kansas City, easy. Cincinnati, easy. Buffalo, little bit of a challenge, but he's not going to see Tre'Davious White. He's going to work out of the slot, so I like that. So a really favorable schedule down the stretch. Now, right now, Julian Edelman going into the bye, a little over halfway of his season, 63 receptions, 663 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So he's on 100 catch, 1,100 yard, 7 touchdown pace. And looking at that schedule, looking at the price, you know the volume's going to be there because he's really the only consistent thing in that passing offense. Yeah, Julian Edelman is a strong buy for a championship team. And I think that, you know, if anyone in the UDPL, like if I lost this week, I was completely out of it. If anyone came to me and said, hey, you're out of the playoffs, you want to sell Edelman for a late second, I would be like, I can do that. Like, I'll take a late second for Edelman. Because, you know, again, we're talking about a receiver that's older. We don't know what the quarterback situation is going to look like after this year. And, you know, he's still productive. So Edelman, I think, is a strong buy for you. And I've got one other one real quick, just because I mentioned Kyle Allen. I still think Curtis Samuel is a buy, especially when you're talking about
your
the,
boy.
This,
you know, your boy.
My boy. For the playoff push, Atlanta, New Orleans, Washington, Atlanta, Seattle, Indy. Okay. Super easy because he's not going to see Marcus Lattimore. Atlanta's corners, not good. Washington, not good. Seattle's corners, not good. Indy's secondary corner, not that great. And Kyle Allen seems to really like Samuel in the red zone. He's been scoring touchdowns almost every week lately. The targets have still been pretty strong. But that was one of the things that really turned me on to Samuel last year, is that he finished really strong in the fantasy season. I think he's going to have the opportunity to do so again. So this is not only a buy for your championship window, it's also a buy for the future, because I think Curtis Samuel's skill set is awesome. Now, he hasn't been completely unlocked as of yet, but I think if Curtis Samuel is ever unlocked in that offense, it's going to be a lookout moment. You know, we saw his... a lot of the, you know, the rumors of his breakout when Matt Harmon came out with reception perception, his route tree was one of the best in the league. He can run all the routes. He's been much more polished as a route runner. He looked great in the preseason and in camp, and he's shown flashes during the season. Obviously a quarterback change, you know, Cam Newton coming in there with the shoulder and then switching to Allen, some inconsistencies, but I still believe in the player. And I think just based on that second half schedule, Samuel is going to pop here in the second half, and he could be a integral piece as a, say, a wide receiver three on your squad, getting you double digit points every single week for the rest of the season.
There you go. I like that one. So I have two more wide receivers, and I'll go with one of my boos. And you brought up reception perception. He was one of the first reception perception darlings. That's Allen Robinson, the Chicago Bears. Now, you hear the word Chicago Bears and wide receiver, and you would go, because Mitchell Trubisky just, he brings that up, all that bile from your intestines, your stomach. it's nasty to think. And, I mean, there were three touchdowns to wide receivers a day for the Bears. None of them were for Allen Robinson. Mm. But let's think back to, like, weeks one through three, I want to say, Allen Robinson was getting those red zone targets. Allen Robinson still leads the team almost weekly in targets. So I believe that the positive touchdown regression is to come for Allen Robinson. So Allen Robinson, you can go to that owner, try to sell him on the fact that Mitch Trubisky is hot, hot garbage. That coaching staff is hot, hot garbage. The play calling is hot garbage. And hopefully you can get the discount on Allen Robinson. The rest of his schedule goes as such: the Rams, the New York Giants, the Detroit Lions, the Dallas Cowboys, the Packers, and then he ends your fantasy season week 16 with Kansas City. So you got to like that. If you can get to that Kansas City game, he's going to be a guy you can plug in there, and you're just going to hope that Kansas City defense doesn't figure out how to actually play defense by that point. So Allen Robinson is a guy I've personally loved. I know Doug has always been high on him. Tyler has loved as well. And it just stinks. He's one of those guys where I just think, what if he was playing in a place like New Orleans instead of the Jaguars and now the Bears with these two quarterbacks?
If he ever had a quarterback, he would be elite.
Yeah. So how much better could he be? And maybe that's to come. So that, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, you get him at this discount now, and in a year or two, he actually gets some decent quarterback play and he's skyrocketing. But for right now, as long as he's getting the team's lead share of targets, I do believe that positive touchdown regression is to come, and that's going to get you over the hump, win your matchups, and hopefully win you those trophies.
Mm. Do you have any more wide receivers?
I do.
Finish
my last one again is my most expensive one. And this is a guy, injury has kept him off the field, one of those out of sight, out of minds, and Kirk Cousins can't continue to throw touchdowns to Kyle Rudolph as he's doing tonight against the Cowboys. this has to stop. So Adam Thielen has to come back and make the world right again. So buy on the injury discount, the, you know, the lack of production he's had these past few weeks due to the injury. Get yourself Adam Thielen. They have Denver. They go to a bye. Seattle, Detroit, Jacksonville, and Green Bay to end your season. And it really wouldn't matter what the games were, what the matchups were against what defenses, because Adam Thielen, when he's healthy, Kirk Cousins, just with Adam Thielen on the field, Kirk Cousins feels warm and safe and just all fuzzy inside, and he's just constantly throwing to him, and it's nothing but good things. So get yourself Adam Thielen. Hopefully you can get a little bit of a discount, like I said, due to the lack of production these past few weeks, and he's the type that's definitely going to help you win playoff games.
I like it. So let's go to the final position and the most frustrating position in all of fantasy. Mm. That is the ends that are tight. And yeah, ugly position this year, I think we can all agree on. You know, you're to be a tight end one, I've always joked about it, it's 30 yards and a touchdown, and it rings true this year again. When I look at the top tight ends in fantasy every week, like the top 12 tight ends, we get past five, and I'm like, ugh. Woof. Like, no thanks. I'll go first because we talked about my boys, Curtis Samuel being one at the wide receiver position, Aaron Jones being my running back boy, and I am pumping my chest loud and proud this year on Aaron Jones. Thank you very much. Another three tutties today, baby. So this one has been a guy that I've pumped up quite a bit since his rookie year, and that's David Njoku. So, you know, we talk about guys that have kind of been forgotten about, and he's been on the IR since, I think, week four, maybe week five. Seems like forever ago.
Yeah, it does seem like forever ago.
So he's been on the IR. He's eligible to return next week. Now, I don't know that he is going to return next week, but all signs that I could find in news say that his wrist is in good shape and he should be able to return. Now, the Browns have injuries at the tight end position. Ricky Seals-Jones is banged up. Demetrius Harris hasn't been that great. You know, we saw some really nice rapport from Baker Mayfield to David Njoku, not only early in the season, but last year. So, you know, when you look at the schedule for Njoku going down the stretch, Pittsburgh, Miami, Pittsburgh, love those 2 out of 3 week matchups. Way to schedule that, NFL, you dolts. Cincinnati, hello. Arizona, hello. And then Baltimore, not the best matchup in your championship game, but not terrible. So, you know, the Browns won today. Their offense did look better. Kareem Hunt came back and touched the ball a little bit. So I think that as this offense starts to kind of improve and finally find itself 10 weeks into the season, David Njoku could be a really nice piece down the stretch. Now, you don't need to expect much out of your tight end to be startable every week. So if that's one of your problem points and you're like, you know what, I want to target a young tight end that the price might be down on, I can get him for a second round pick. Go get David Njoku. All hail the Chief. He's an athletic freak. He could be that breakout that Mark Andrews was this year. He could be that breakout that Austin Hooper was this year, next year. So not only are you trying to do it for your championship, but much like we talked about with Joe Mixon, is you're buying low on a player that can help you this year, but then possibly take that next step into an elite status next year, and you're getting that at a discount now. So it's twofold. Help you now, help you later. Life is good. Go get the Chief.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of his athleticism too.
Freak.
So, yeah. And since we're talking about our guys, this has been my guy at the tight end position. We saw him come on hot and heavy to end last year. He starts this year on a suspension. He comes back from suspension. He immediately pulls the hammy. He finally got in the game today. Chris Herndon, that is. He had one big-time catch down the sideline on a bit of a scramble play. Holding call brought it back. I think he ended the game with one catch. But we saw the chemistry between him and Bradford last year. That doesn't just go away. It's going to be there. You don't have to love the Jets, but they're going to, you know, that team's fighting for a little bit of respect. The coaching staff's fighting for their jobs. You would have to expect
it's going to be all systems go.
Yeah. Yes. Instead of just all around. But Chris Herndon is going to end the season with the Washington Redskins, the Oakland Raiders. the Bengals, the Dolphins. Here's the one I don't love, the Ravens in week 15, but then he comes back against Pitt in week 16. And I want to say Pittsburgh, you know, as much hype as their defense gets is against the tight end position is like 10th or 11th. Mm. So I do like that matchup ending in week 16. You just got to hope that what we saw to end last year starts to come back. First game back, he's working his way back into the system, into that circle of trust we kind of talked about with the quarterback here. And if Sam Bradford starts getting in trouble like he has over and over and over this season with the blocking of that offensive line, he's going to start looking for that outlet. And Herndon could definitely be that outlet for him. So I still love Chris Herndon. And I'm hoping that going forward,
Did you just make a David Njoku, Chris Herndon baby?
Yeah, like a hybrid.
Yeah.
And they're just going to be the most dominant tight end since Gronk.
Yeah, right.
He's going to debut in about 19 years.
Mega tight end. Like,
watch out. Yeah. Just watch out. The athleticism of David Njoku to just be able to leap over 6 foot men and just, that confidence of Chris Herndon. I love it. So,
yeah.
Now, Chris Herndon's a guy that I've loved since the beginning of last year,
and owners and are hoping he comes back. Super frustrated with him right now. Like, they haven't got anything out of him, and they're just like, ugh. But
why he's a perfect buy right now.
Oh,
too.
For sure. And you got to look at like his rookie season. He's in rarefied air as a rookie tight end with over 500 yards receiving. Like, that's no joke. So yes, I love that call on Chris Herndon. A couple of University of Miami tight ends for you.
Yes, that's true. Hey, that's tight end you, baby.
But no, that's Iowa. Come on now. They had Dallas Clark and George Kittle and Noah Fant. Yeah. This guy Hawkinson thingamajig. Yeah, whatever. It's Miami. Yeah. Like, go back
the
and
look. The U's been doing it for 20 plus years.
Yeah. Shockey, so. Greg the third leg. Come on now.
Greg
the have you ever heard that rap when he was with Miami?
No.
Oh my God. So no. Go on YouTube and search like Hurricanes, Miami Hurricanes rap, or just Google search Greg the third leg and it'll probably pop up somewhere. It's a bunch of the players did a rap song, and Greg Olsen uses Greg the third leg in his rap. Hilarious.
Okay.
I don't know if he's hung or not, but apparently he thinks he is. So I want to go with another tight end. He's a younger tight end, an athletic freak. Had his kind of quasi-breakout game last week. He didn't do much this week, but it's Mike Gesicki. And his schedule the last 3 weeks of your championship season, so 14, 15, 16, Jets, Giants, Bengals, that is what I like to call juicy. So I think Mike Gesicki, it was probably easier to buy him 2 weeks ago, but I still don't think you have to give up a ton. I think you could, in a regular standard tight end league without premiums, maybe a late second gets it done. Maybe not even. I think 2 weeks ago, you could have given up a third and gotten Gesicki, to be completely honest.
I got offered a third this week for Gesicki. I'm like, maybe 3 weeks ago, that would have worked.
But right. No, yeah, I think after that game last week where everyone was like, okay, this kid does know how to play a little bit. He's just not one of these Penn State athletic freaks like the Troy Apkes of the world, which test out of this world, and they're not really good football players. And obviously Saquon Barkley tests and is great. But yeah, I think Gesicki, if you need a tight end, he's got that upside to finish strong, and that's what you're looking for. And, going forward, we don't know what the situation at quarterback's going to look like there either. The answer's obviously not Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's obviously not Josh Rosen. They're going to be in the market for a quarterback, whether it's Tua, Herbert, whoever. So his future might look a little bit brighter as well. So these are the kind of moves that we want to give you, is like the now and the later, because those are the moves that the savvy dynasty owners are going to make. So you're welcome. So Mike Gesicki, that's why he makes my list. Tim, did you have any other ends of tightness on your list?
No more ends of tightness. Yeah. Not for me.
Yeah, the tight end.
Like you said, it's a rough position, and really
I love reading Nick Menzio's article on RotoWorld. He has like a start and sit article every week. Mm-hmm. And he'll list like three tight ends. And instead of sits, he's like, yeah, the tight end position's like so bad. There's no one particularly like that. I'm like, and it's like that every week. He never puts anybody in there just because that's how fantasy tight end is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So throw that dart.
Throw that dart. Well, that is going to wrap us up. Tim, I had a blast.
As did I, Doug.
These are always my favorite pods. Justin and Tyler, feel free to take some more weeks off if you need to. Maybe you need to go play darts. Whatever you need to do. Like, Tim and Doug, we got this. Yeah. We're flowing. We're having a good old time. We're going to be back next week. I don't know who's going to be on. I know I'll be back. Tim, you back next week?
I don't think I got anything going. So yeah.
All right, cool. So we might have, you know, Tyler might even be back next week. We don't know. We don't keep track of their schedule. It doesn't concern us. We just show up when we're supposed to be here. And that's what matters. So we are going to go over some, what is it? We're going over some players to get rid of?
We did the contenders buys this week. So next week we're going to do the, hey, you know, the season just hasn't worked out like I was hoping. Just not going to make the playoffs this year. So you got to start looking forward to next year and the years beyond. If you're not going to do it this year, how can I start doing it next year? Because that's the great thing about being in that position right now, is you can right now start looking forward to next year, while the teams that are making the moves we talked about today have to worry solely about this year. Mm-hmm. Because if you can get the championship, you got to do whatever you can do to get it, and then turn your attention to the following year. But teams that aren't going to be in the playoffs, we're going to start talking about the moves you can start making to help yourself in the years coming.
Absolutely. And that'll be a lot of fun. Make sure you check out Trophy Smack. Use that code DHHRING. If you like what you heard here, we do have a Patreon website every week. It's going to give you a good quality 15 to 30 minutes, depending on what we want to talk about. Every week we answer your questions. We have a private GroupMe chat for Patreon. So if you want one-on-one access to us, we can do that. Just go on patreon.com, search Dynasty Happy Hour or DHH, give you all the details for that there. Make sure you check out the website, Dynasty Happy Hour. You've got rankings. You can do your own rankings, which is unique. I don't know any of other website that does that. So check out Dynasty Happy Hour. There's also the Devi Happy Hour. Lots of happy hourness going on. So check out all those avenues. You can find Dynasty Happy Hour on Twitter as well. I have been your host, Doug Eddy. You can follow me on Twitter at TheFantasyFather. And Tim, what's your Twitter handle nowadays? I know you changed it.
DHH underscore Tim.
So follow him over there. Tyler and Justin, they don't need followers, whatever. So we will be back next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH underscore Tim, Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.